the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today, very, very relevant as well. During the first hour, I will be conversing with Dr. John Chrysler, a friend of the show, about a phenomenon called Grumpy Man Syndrome. And you may find yourself being one of these individuals, or you may know someone who is one of these individuals, and there's real issues to discuss here. We're taking a little tongue-in-cheek approach, but it's a serious subject. Later in the show, I will be dazzling you with my interpretation of some recent science in the news. And I think you'll find that the way I interpret this information is quite different than what you will hear on your evening news by the talking heads within the mainstream media. So we'll be doing that later in the show. Okay, so let's get right to it. Dr. John Chrysler operates a clinic called All Things Male. How you doing, John?
Great, Carol. Good to be with you.
Yes. And, you know, this subject matter is tongue-in-cheek. Quite frankly, when we talk about menopause, there's no tongue-in-cheek about it. When we talk about I purposely called the show Grumpy Man Syndrome, but the reality is I received an email from Life Extension Magazine recently, which, by the way, aren't you on their board of directors or something like that?
I am. I'm on the medical advisory board.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I received an email from Life Extension talking about a real clinical subject called irritable male syndrome. As best as I can tell, irritable male syndrome, or IMS for the purpose of this interview, or I like to coin grumpy man syndrome, was first coined by a Professor Gerald Lincoln back in 2001. He's with the University of Edinburgh in the Reproductive Biology Department, where he discussed that this is a real phenomenon. I think that in the past, we've referred to this as andropause, and it hasn't been taken seriously because we kind of piggybacked onto the whole menopause thing, and people went, oh, women really go through menopause. Now you're trying to say there's something called andropause. But there really is a cessation in hormone production in men changes who they are dramatically, just the same way it changes women from who they were before they start going through their hormonal cessation. And it poses a great deal of health risks as well. And this is a serious subject, okay? But we're gonna go through this because you may or may not fall into this category. Or you may know someone who falls into this category. So, Dr. Chrysler, when you see a man come into your facility for the first time, why is he showing up there? Is he coming there because of loss of libido, or is he coming there because of the loss of other things that perhaps are, what's the word I'm looking for, subjective in an effort to try to assess?
Well, I think probably the red flag for low testosterone levels would have to be the decrease or complete loss of sexual function. That seems to be what gets him pushed through the door. Probably he's been experiencing the symptoms with respect to this more psychosocial aspects for some years. He's dropping down. He's getting more fatigued. The depression starts coming on. Also, you know, symptoms like you talk about in his body, he may not have overt cardiovascular disease or diabetes or, excuse me, osteoporosis or anything yet, which he will get from his low testosterone. But he notices that things just plain hurt more. Inflammation is up. He's now hearing from his wife he's more irritable, you know, depressive symptoms and so forth. He may be noticing probably the third most common complaint is brain fog. The second would be fatigue.
Okay, let's talk about this. There is a list, a brief list of some, you know, and again, this kind of falls into that subjective. But you have to remember, this is the red flag. Obviously, blood work can allow your clinician or your physician to zero in on why you or your loved one is suffering from this condition, which we're going to continue to call for the show Grumpy Man Syndrome, because I like that better, quite frankly. Hypersensitivity, feelings of withdrawal, feelings of sadness and anxiety, over feeling of frustration, a loss of enthusiasm for things that you used to enjoy, disinterest in things that you used to enjoy. Obviously, a loss of libido, but I have a funny feeling that more men are willing to openly discuss all the other items in this list than the loss of libido, because we attribute libido to our manhood. And anytime I have had open and frank discussions with people, men, about testosterone therapy, the first thing they shoot back at me, and if I had a nickel for every time this happened, I wouldn't have to do this show. As soon as I say, well, have you looked into testosterone therapy? They immediately come back and go, I have no problem in the bedroom, you know, and then they chuckle and they, you know, give me some sort of a canned answer about how, you know, voracious they are as a lover. And I have to tell you, while Dr. Crystal points out that the number one reason that men show up there quite often is libido, that should not be the indicator that you do not need testosterone therapy, because libido depends on a variety of neuroendocrine hormones, as well as estrogen and testosterone and DHT, to play this delicate dance. And quite often, a guy can still have a fairly decent libido. He wants to have sex a couple times a week, and his testosterone levels can still be in the dirt. Have you found that, Dr. Chrysler?
Oh, yeah. And whether, like you just mentioned, you know, they may be overemphasizing the level of activity. Like my friend Dr. Terry Hertog says, if a man says he's having sex five times a week, there's a 90% chance he is lying. Well, people are having a lot less sex out there than usually they talk about. But the libido stuff seems to be kind of a variable, in that there, as you just mentioned, there are so many aspects that play into a man's sexual being. And as a man ages, there's no doubt that the emotional component of a sexual being becomes a greater and greater proportion. You know, when we were 18 years old, all we did was follow it around. At 40, 45, 50 years old now, we want companionship, and we want to have a good relationship, and we want to have respect, and the things that are more real in life, I would say. You know, it probably is a good thing when a man comes of age.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I think that they really missed in the article from Life Extension newsletter was 46% of men surveyed said they felt stressed all the time. And I think they kind of got it backwards, in my humble opinion. And, of course, I'm no clinician. I'm just a talking head as well. But they indicated in the article that the stress may be begetting the drop in testosterone, or the maybe priming the issue. And I'm a firm believer it's exactly the opposite. When your testosterone levels start to dip, you will unabashedly find it more difficult to deal with situations that used to just roll right off your back. You will find that you will go from 0 to 60 a lot faster in anger, in frustration, and feeling overwhelmed with situations that you used to just go, I'll deal with that later, and roll right on. What would you say to that statement, Dr. Chrysler?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, let's mention the roid rage thing, which, as you and I both know, is a
nonsense.
Complete myth.
Nonsense.
Yeah, the idea that a man who is hypogonadal is going to be a better partner, or is less likely to beat his wife, for instance, than a man who has been properly treated with testosterone replacement therapy. When you get a guy's testosterone levels up in a good, healthy range, he's not depressed, he's not as irritable, he's more confident in himself, sexual function is good. And who is more likely to go off on his woman, a man who feels good or a man that feels bad? I think that's a pretty good analogy for the whole thing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, there was a couple good studies done and a couple bad studies done many, many years ago trying to elucidate the linkage between testosterone and aggression. The first study, which I thought was laughable, was done by collecting the chewing gum. You ready for this? Of prison inmates who had been violent offenders and testing their testosterone levels. Okay? And you're talking about psychoses here, overriding hormonal impetus, in my humble opinion. However, many of the good studies that have been done have actually shown that it is estrogen levels as they rise that cause men to have severe mood swings. Now, would you attribute this, Dr. Chrysler, to the direct effects of the hormone estrogen or from the mediation of blood sugar levels that start to occur when estrogen levels start to rise?
Well, good connection there. Yes, again, it's another chicken and egg situation. Everybody has their best sweet spot with respect to estrogen, just like testosterone levels go. We have the testosterone to estrogen ratio, which is, in my opinion, not a true treatment goal, rather just a good way to describe why and how the patient is feeling why the way that they are. When estrogen goes up, there's no question that it flattens a man's emotional response with respect to sexual function, but increases it with respect to his depression and irritability and the wimpy factor.
Right.
All of a sudden, the guy starts subscribing to Red Book magazine, buying shoes, hanging out at the mall, watching Oprah. He's done.
Yeah, you know what? We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about some research that Dr. Luann Brizendine started talking about quite a long time ago. After writing the book The Female Brain, she wrote the book The Male Brain, and it's all about the effects of sex steroids on the brain and how it affects our personalities. Dr. Chrysler, what's your website?
Allthingsmail.com.
Allthingsmail.com. Need I say more? Check it out. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from trueprotein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCellWellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking this hour with Dr. John Chrysler about grumpy man syndrome. That's what I like to call it. Okay, so let's talk about some of this stuff. Way back when Dr. Luann Brizendine wrote a book called The Female Brain, and she attributed the changes in the female brain that occur through menopause. The drop in oxytocin production causes women to lose their loving connection to their children and their family. The drop in testosterone levels and DHEA causes them to lose their libido and their desire. And they have this constant underlying sense of dissatisfaction with their lives and believe that the only way to find satisfaction is to unburden themselves with their families and divorce. And this has been seen quite a bit in the past 7 or 8 years. I think AARP actually did a study and discovered that 75% of all divorces are initiated by women, citing, what's that? Irreconcilable differences, and very, very clear. She elucidated this in her book. Then she comes out with the male brain, and guess what she finds out about the male brain? The same thing is happening. When men start to go through their hormonal cessations, 40% of men surveyed, not in her book, but in another survey, revealed that they find sex dissatisfying with their spouse while they're going through this hormonal cessation. 55% of them find that they start to perform worse in their job due to having a greater fear of failure. 62% say that they lose their desire for everything that ever made them happy. They just want to sit in the house and watch TV and become spectators of life. So when you look at what happens to men, it's no different than what happens to women. However, there is a great difference in the way our physiology reacts to the cessation of hormone production. And I'm going to let Dr. Chrysler expand on this, but there's numerous research studies out there, good research, one of them done by the California Veterans Administration, over 16,000 men in the study. It was a longitudinal study done over a couple decades, I believe, where they came down with one complete fact. The men with the lowest testosterone levels died the soonest. Now, talk about that, Dr. Chrysler. When testosterone levels start to dip in men, what types of chronic diseases seem to rear their ugly heads?
Well, there's cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, dementia, and then the seventh deadly disease, sexual dysfunction.
Right.
K.T. Shaw from Cambridge University did a study several years ago where she followed 10,000 men for 10 years, found that basically that the men who were in the low normal range compared to the upper quartile of normal range were 41% more likely to have died during that time. You know why that is?
Why?
Because they want to.
No, you're being sincere. They're so depressed, they just want to die.
Well, basically, a man's body runs on testosterone, and when there's no gas in the tank, you can't go anymore. So it's not just a disease state. There's no question that our mental outlook in life affects not just quality of life on a day-by-day basis, but also how long we live. So if you're not feeling good, you're going to die sooner.
You know what's really scary, Dr. Chrysler? And you and I have talked about this both on the air and off the air. There is an emerging epidemic of men 25 to 30 years who are presenting hypogonadism. What is in store for these poor guys?
Well, pretty much the same thing. We're being assaulted. It's not just the increased stress levels that we're noticing. I don't think there's any question about it, that we have higher stress levels now than we did in decades past. We're also being assaulted on a daily basis by estrogenic compounds in the environment, bisphenol A, pesticides, and so forth, plasticizers, men who consume soy products, men who consume flax, which are recommended to them by many health groups. These are all estrogenic compounds. They're very powerful in our body. Not only do they induce lower testosterone, but also they have their own estrogen-like properties. And so we're just dumbing down. Guys are not going into manhood as early as they were. While women are becoming women much earlier.
Precocious puberty is on the rise. Exactly.
Yep. So it's really being flipped around.
So, is it fair to say that young men, just because they're 25 and 30 years old, if their testosterone levels start to become that low, are they candidates for diseases like atherosclerosis or diabetes?
I think it's pretty clear that they are, that low or even low normal testosterone levels predict future morbidity and mortality. I have a fair number of guys coming to me. They're in early 20s. We try to figure out what it was. We try to restart their system.
Have you discovered anything? Do you do hypothalamic challenge tests? Do you do testicular challenge tests to try to isolate where the problem is occurring?
Oh, sure. You sure don't want to put a guy that young in testosterone replacement therapy, especially if he's going to be on that path the rest of his life if you don't have to. But there comes a time these guys have done everything that you can for them. It's been a couple several years there, and the guy's not having any sexual relations. He can't maintain a relationship. He's depressed. He's having a hard time maintaining his job, especially in this economy. After a while, he just throws in his hat, "Dr. Chris, I just can't take it anymore." And that's the time. We try to use a little more easy, a little gentle approach with respect to testosterone replacement therapy. If I can get away with low-dose clomiphene at 12.5 milligrams a day, I certainly will. He may need some sexual binding globulin or estrogen control on top of that. After that, probably HCG would be a best choice, trying to just stimulate the testicles. That's a little more natural. And also keeps the testicular atrophy down along the way, and that helps him too. Before going to a frank testosterone delivery system, which we will if we have to, because that guy is going to be sick earlier, is going to die earlier, and his life is going to be lousy in the meantime.
Well, let me ask you a question. I've become more and more intrigued with the liver recently. I read a study a while back that shows that older men, either because of inefficiency of the liver or perhaps one of the biological safeguards, when you put an older man on 250 milligrams of testosterone cypionate a week versus a young man, 25 to 30 years old, the elevation in serum testosterone levels is much greater in the older man. And it was in this particular study, and perhaps you've seen the study, it's quite old. It's probably 8 or 9 years old. They discussed that the clearing of testosterone by the liver and the number of receptors in the liver seems to be fewer in men. And at first I thought maybe that's a safeguard, but it also could be the liver is not functioning the way it should. So given that the liver plays a big role in so many different processes in the body, do you think that these young men, because they're being bombarded with xenoestrogens and phytoestrogens and everything else that appears to be like an estrogen, do you think that there's a change in the landscape of the liver that predisposes them, that even if you were to stimulate the testes, because obviously the ideal thing would be to remove the insult and allow the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis to resume function, right?
Oh, sure. I was talking about several months ago with my pal, Dr. Eugene Shippen, why it is we put these guys on clomiphene and their system comes up under the stimulation of the clomiphene, I should say the blockade, the estrogen blockade of the clomiphene. And then we withdraw the clomiphene, and then they drop back down again. Why didn't they keep keep running, letting the system keep running. You might hear a train here in just a second.
That's okay.
We're broadcasting from the medical school that they have the tracks right now.
That's right. You do teach at medical school, and you were kind enough to make time for this interview today in between classes. So I really appreciate that. But anyway, so do you think there is a linkage in the liver? You think the liver is doing something?
Yeah, there's got to be something in there that's shutting the system back down again. There must be some kind of suppressive element. We can figure out what that is. We should do better. You know, our goal is to get everybody up and running and not need to be on anything at all, especially as an osteopathic physician. I hate to put anybody on any medication we ever have to or higher doses than we ever have to. By the way, 250 milligrams of testosterone sitting in a week to me is pretty much a steroid dose. I start my guys, I'm probably down to about 80 milligrams a week now. I was at 100 milligrams a week of starting dose. Our pal, Dr. Mark Gordon, is getting excellent results on 60 milligrams. We're really finding now that the guys are doing a lot better on lower doses of testosterone. Of course, we're glad to see that because less problems with estrogen and so forth. It seems like when you give more testosterone, he may feel better for a while, but he kind of overruns the sexual function, kind of leaves it behind. I think probably there's some linkage in there between a correlation to stress levels that stimulates the sympathetic nervous system, which actually inhibits erections. So when we drop the testosterone down, he notices at first he doesn't feel quite as good as first while his system is re-equilibrating. But once he gets used to lower testosterone level, basically he feels better than ever. And a lot of guys come to me at twice the upper range of testosterone for some previous physician. I talk him into dropping down into, for instance, the upper quartile of normal range. And a few weeks later, he's right back in the saddle again. He feels much better than he did before. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it's very, very. I know Dr. Gordon has spoken to me about this, and you know, part of that could come back to this whole thing, especially if you're dealing with older guys, that the liver seems to become more sympathetic to keeping as much testosterone as possible for whatever reason, whether it's a quirk or a benefit. Either way,
I think that's true, Carl, because about the 24-hour urine panels. They run the Rhine panels, and 28 different tests on there, so we're really getting an idea of what's happening in the pathways. There's no question that we're seeing lower ratios of the testosterone metabolites to the testosterone in the urine, which means they simply are not breaking it down as fast.
Right, right. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about this phenomenon. Over 6 million men are diagnosed each year with depression. This is according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Why are doctors going right to antidepressants and not testosterone? We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler. We're talking about grumpy man syndrome. If you know someone that fits into this category, if you fit into this category, get yourself to a physician and talk to them about testing your testosterone levels. Very, very important. Not just for feeling better, but really improving quality of life, but improving length of life and avoiding age-related disease. We'll be right back with more. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
I have never endorsed a training guide before the Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint.
Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet.
And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
50. Robbie F50.
Those of you who have purchased the Blueprint recently, take some before pictures now. Because in February, we're kicking off a Blueprint body makeover challenge. And we're talking about thousands, that's plural, of dollars in prizes. And we're going to let the audience vote for the person who has the greatest transformation over the course of the promotion, which will be 3 months. So if you've already purchased the Blueprint, please take your before pictures now so you can join in with this wonderful promotion. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler from allthingsmale.com. John, over 6 million men every single year are diagnosed with depression.
Keyword diagnosed.
Say what?
Keyword diagnosed.
Right. Okay. Yes, of course.
Successfully diagnosed.
And so the go-to treatment, obviously, is an antidepressant of some sort. Why isn't anyone looking at hormone levels?
They're not trained to. You know, it's heresy. You know, guy comes in, he's depressed and impotent and so forth. You know, here's some Prozac, here's some Viagra, see you in 6 months. The problem never gets really addressed metabolically, and that is a crime, especially since we know that SSRIs now are no better for treating depression than placebo.
Right.
And the changes to the brain chemistry are profound. You guys, medications, they're not to be taken lightly. Look at the withdrawal, trying to get off those medications. I mean, they really change things around. Just, you know, as you and I have talked many times on numerous episodes, you know, the notion that a bioidentical, naturally a God-given substance in your body is bad for you to replace when it gets low, but a synthetic chemical that's harsh by its nature is good for you. It just escapes me.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever, as a matter of fact, when I was in San Francisco recently, there was a fellow who actually heads up the nation for the distribution of Boniva. I believe that's a Genentech product. I could be wrong, but anyway. We got into a little discussion about it, and I started talking about hormone replacement therapy. And, of course, the first thing he says, well, that's dangerous.
My God.
And I said to him, I said, so what you're telling me is when a woman loses the production of estrogen, which helps to maintain bone mineral density, the choice of replacing that already existing hormone is dangerous, but giving her a drug – that, by the way, affects the parathyroid function and calcitonin production so dramatically that it could actually cause some damage to the body. That's the go-to approach. And he kind of looked at me quizzically. I said, so what you're saying is when women go through menopause, they become low in Boniva. They don't become low in estrogen, right?
It's a Boniva deficiency.
Yeah, it's a Boniva deficiency. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's laughable. And you know what? And anybody out there with a marginally functioning brain has to realize that that disease is more it's greater in greater amounts and it's worse, and people are dying horrible deaths, not just from the diseases that they're being treated from, but because of the complications to polypharmacy. People must realize by now that your doctor, unfortunately, can't help you unless he has been enlightened, because if he is following the edicts that he learned in school, he was taught by the pharmaceutical companies, he is not going to be able to do anything else but prescribe drugs to you. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the programs, the conferences are sponsored by drug companies. You're never going to hear a lecture on stage about the over 900 studies that show how dangerous statin drugs are or any of that kind of stuff. It just doesn't happen. They're not allowed. On the other hand, I have a hard time talking about how worthless saliva testing is at my own conferences that I go to, so because they're influenced by that industry. So
yeah, I know.
It's a follow the money thing.
I'm with you on that. I believe that the only a valuable saliva test is a cortisol test, and everything else should be done in blood. Because, and I found this out myself. I used a very, very prominent company, and I ordered both I had blood work done at LabCorp. I had blood spot and saliva test done by a company that offers those two at the same exact time, the same day, because this was years ago. This was like 5 years ago, and I talked about it on the show. And what came back was that the blood spot corresponded with the serum, and the saliva was totally incorrect. Totally incorrect. And when I contacted the gentleman who heads up that company, who has pioneered the saliva testing, and asked him, he couldn't give me a good answer as to why. And it was later on that I discovered in saliva tests, there's a lot of things that can actually influence. It's very difficult for them to segregate out androgens, for instance. DHEA can actually register as free testosterone.
Well, anybody who sells a DHEA saliva test is already on the wrong side of the line with me, because DHEA sulfate does not cross into the saliva gland. It's a barrier to it. Well, it will enter into other compartments and therefore is useful. And also the body will process DHEA into testosterone and estrogen. I'm sorry, the saliva gland will process DHEA into testosterone and estrogen and so forth. So it's operating on DHEA and not allowing DHEA sulfate into the saliva gland. So, you know, what does it really mean? Is this truly, you know, intracellular metabolic activity or not? Well, if I were a 215-pound saliva gland, maybe that's true. But I have lots of other kinds of tissues in my body, and so we're coming around now, fine. I'm, you know, 10 years from now, nobody's going to be using a saliva testing except for adrenal fatigue.
What should a man do if he's heard this show and he thinks, you know what? Because I have people email me this exact question all the time. He hears this show and he goes in and he asks his doctor, first of all, to be tested for testosterone and estrogen and other, perhaps, other. What should a man go in? What's a male profile, an adequate male profile, in your opinion, Dr. Chrysler?
By someone with true expertise in the field?
Yes.
You know what doing?
Yes. What lab should be done?
Well, I would love to see a 24-hour urine on the guy, because all the time I see guys with decent serum levels do a 24-hour urine, so he's got for the whole day and he's very, very low.
Oh.
Because serum testing would be a total testosterone, a bioavailable testosterone. You need to check estradiol. Here's very, very important to always get the sensitive, ultra-sensitive,
right,
or enhanced estradiol for the Mayo Clinic, they call it, because the standard estradiol is designed for women, and the bell curve for their testing lies exclusively within the female range, so it's not valid for adult males. It tends to greatly overestimate the actual estrogen number for a guy. So if you read that number with the standard estradiol assay, you think it's higher than it is, and the doctor, even without symptoms of high estrogen, which you probably shouldn't treat estrogen unless they have the symptoms, in my opinion.
Right.
But the guy comes in with a high, falsely high level for his estradiol by the standard assay, then you put him on an anastrozole or some other ramdase inhibitor, you're driving the true estrogen right down into the toilet then, and he starts getting joint aches and headaches, and it blows his lipid profile, and it causes the reverse Beneva effect, and by stripping his bones and so forth, and it's just plain bad. So always a 6-1 binding globulin. That is the centerpiece of all hormonal analysis. When 6-1 binding globulin is high, of course, it's binding up testosterone, but it's also binding up the estrogen. So when 6-1 binding globulin is low, you do have more testosterone available, but you have to keep in mind you have more estrogen available too. For that reason, I would really rather see high 6-1 binding globulin because I can mass action with more testosterone on the top of it. 6-1 binding globulin gets low. Some of these guys really can't stand to have hardly any estrogen at all at work. And also, I've never seen a study, but I've discussed it. I see it all the time in my practice. I've discussed it with Dr. Gordon and Dr. Shippen and so forth, and Dr. Rothenberg, that when 6-1 binding globulin is low, we do see a high risk of anxiety in men.
Yeah. And you want to hear something? You know what's interesting? I had a gentleman who wrote that study for the National Cancer Institute that said that androgens have no effect on prostate cancer, and I had him on the show. I feel like his last name was Godley, Paul Godley, but and I asked him, Dr. Godley, I said, did you find anything that could be linked to the prostate hyperplasia or cancer? He says the one thing that we did find is that we did find the correlation between sex hormone binding globulin and prostate cancer. It was I believe he said it was inverse. I believe he said when SHBG was low, the risk for prostate cancer was higher, if I recall. And that was like 4 years ago I interviewed him. So
that certainly makes sense by what we're just saying. We know that estrogen is a real culprit in prostate morbidity. So estradiol is quite proliferative of the stromal tissue in the prostate. I've been shrinking prostates for years by controlling estrogens. Cruciferous vegetables do a great job.
Dim.
You cut down the 16 alpha hydroxyestrone.
Right.
And it's wonderful as opposed to using some drug which is going to lower the DHT and trash a man's sexual being, and also put him at risk for the dreaded post-finasteride syndrome.
Yeah, which we actually did a whole show on. We have to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Crystal, I want to wrap up the show by discussing what happens when you meet a doctor who is not willing, A, to run this battery of tests, and B, after running them, who says, you know, you're in the normal range, even though you're at 400 nanograms, you know, 380 or 250 is what they consider hypogonadal, and you're fine. There's nothing I can do for you. We're talking with Dr. John Crystal, allthingsmale.com. Need I say more? We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner
ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, I will be discussing science that you're hearing right now in the news. But my opinion is going to be a little bit different than most of the people in the media that you're going to hear. Right now we're talking with Dr. John Chrysler. I get this question all the time, John. I get an email from somebody who said, I went to my doctor and he did run the tests, you know, reluctantly. And I came back normal, he said. And when I inquired, my testosterone was 380 and hypogonadism now starts at 250. It used to start at 380, actually. I remember when it used to start at 380, but they've pushed it down because of the artificial hypogonadism that's going on with young men. But anyway, and, I asked my doctor for testosterone therapy, and he told me that he wouldn't do it. What do you do when a doctor blockades you from doing something healthy?
Get a new doctor.
Is it really that simple? You just switch doctors? That's it?
Go to someone who knows what they're doing. Here's a problem. Nowhere else in medicine do we not care how patients feel. If you claim depression, you get an SSRI. And the problem could be thyroid. It could be testosterone. This normal range, this dreaded normal range, say it's from 300 to 1,000. Like you say, a guy comes in at 380, has all the symptoms of low testosterone. The doctor completely ignores that because he or she is looking at a number on a piece of paper like they're treating ink on paper instead of living, breathing human being. Well, where does the normal range come from? It's found through purely statistical means, basically. They take all adult males and measure them all and divide by the number of males, and they come up with this range, and they standardize by two standard deviations, bookends around it, and there's where everybody needs to be. About half the guys at the age of 50, if you check bioavailable levels, are hypogonadal. So a significant proportion of that pool are sick. You wouldn't use the potassium levels of a kidney dialysis patient, of a kidney failure patient on the way in for dialysis, I should say,
right,
on the way in for treatment when their potassium level is soaring through the roof. You wouldn't use that, include that in the normal range. So why are we including guys who are sick from low testosterone into the statistical evaluation of what this normal range should be? So let's say that the range is 300 to 1,000. If the range is normally up to 1,000, that means there are a lot of guys living at 1,000 and above.
Right.
As the bell curve comes down. So say you got a guy that's living at 1,000 normally, and there may be a guy living at 300 normally and well. I have patients who do very well at total testosterone of 400. They have a lot of receptors. They're very healthy. Their metabolism is good. They live just fine there, and that's wonderful. But say a guy is living normally at 1,000 all his life. Something happens and dumps him down to one-third of his previous output. He's now at 333. He's still in range. So his normal range can't be low testosterone, even though he only has one-third the amount of testosterone he used to. His body was normally producing that he needs for his body to run properly. So that's why sticking to this normal range, and the only place I really think about normal range is at the top, because I don't want to go over the top of normal range. I think that's doing steroids, and I'm not into that. But you really have to think what the symptoms are. There, a guy could come in at mid-range, have all the symptoms or a great number of symptoms of low testosterone. If you put him on testosterone replacement therapy, if you cure the symptoms, haven't you done successful treatment?
Yes.
There are other issues. You know, by our previous conversation for last break, you know, what would a normal workup be? Last week I had a patient discuss with Dr. Nort from Ryan Consulting Labs, the all-time winner of the greatest hyper excreter we have seen. The guy came in for his testosterone levels at 456 on a range at tops at 85.
Oh,
urinary 24 urine.
And this
so he's many, many times the top of normal range, but he has all the symptoms of low testosterone. So I run a serum testosterone to see what's going on with him. The guy's obviously not on steroids, and is at mid-range for his serum levels. That means that he's urinating all his testosterone. It's leaking out into his urine from his bloodstream. That doesn't mean his kidneys are broken. That's just how his particular kidneys work. And so the way you evaluate that is the guy is having to produce tons and tons of testosterone. Basically, he's trying to fill a pail with a bunch of holes in the bottom of it.
Right.
And his body's able to amass the fortitude to maintain serum levels around mid-range, but it's just sucking the life force on him to do so.
So what do you do? How do you get him to stop excreting?
We put him on every other day testosterone injections. So he has a very normal, in fact, I went sub-Q with him, and here come the jokes, since everybody's been teasing me for not doing sub-Q for so long. I'm doing some messing around with it now. It works very well for cases like his,
right,
or for cases with sexual myoglobin issues, but we want a very regular amount to come into his system, not from a transdermal, but from an injectable, so there's the sipping the ester breaking down to release it into his system, and he gets a nice little zigzag constantly flowing into his bloodstream. And so when he's urinating out, of course, we're trying to do some things hyper metabolic state as well with cobalt and so forth. But anyhow, we need to keep it coming into his system. And the guy feels like night and day when you add some testosterone, because now he's not bleeding all the components of testosterone away from the other metabolic pathways.
You know, I had a guy on my show last year who works with athletes, and he talked about the number one way for an athlete to beat a drug test today is to use one of these medications that are designed for people who urinate frequently, that it actually causes a blockade of metabolites into the kidneys. Would he be a candidate for using that for that reason?
Well, I have to give that some thought.
Yeah. Okay. It just came to me when you said that.
I'm really more about, I mean, this is why I don't use black licorice for treatment adrenal fatigue. I don't want to block pathways. I want to make pathways run properly.
Yeah. No. I understand.
Because nothing works we're never in a fishbowl with respect to hormones. You know, if you affect one enzyme, you're affecting many different hormones that enzyme acts on. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the way that the logic.
And in summary, we only have a couple minutes. I know you have to get started in class there. What would you say to men who they've now had scare tactics by their doctor saying, look, you don't want to go on testosterone. You're going to develop prostate cancer, heart disease, liver failure, and all that other wives' tale stuff. What would you say to that person?
I think we should start taking those doctors for the state medical boards. I think we should make them prove their position. I am sick and tired of doctors who are treating patients according to true medicine, by evidence-based medicine, by the scientific studies, getting slammed before state medical boards when the doctors are refusing the testosterone that the patients want and need and deserve for ridiculous reasons, like it's going to cause prostate cancer, which there's not one shred of evidence to support. I think those doctors should be made to prove their position. That is the only way, by a grassroots effort, we are going to move the science forward. And by golly, we sure need to.
Dr. John Chrysler is one of the enlightened doctors out there. You can learn more about him at allthingsmail.com. He will also consult with you. You can buy a half hour of his time by phone so that you can arm yourself with information that you can walk into your physician and talk like you know what you're talking about. And your physician will look at you and go, where'd you get this stuff from? And you can say, Dr. John Chrysler. You really, really can help yourself in this situation with a stubborn physician when you have the right information. Go to allthingsmail.com. John, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
It's always fun, Carl.
Have fun in class, okay? Tell those students they should listen to the show once in a while.
We're going to raise them up right.
Okay, there you go. Have a great day, John.
Bye now.
All right, so there you have it. Enough on grumpy old man syndrome, or the real term is irritable male syndrome. When we come back, we're going to be discussing science in the news, some fun things. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You can feel it in the air. Oh, it's a passion. Oh, you can feel it in the air. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, a lot of times I'm sitting there watching the news, and they're talking about research that I happen to be privy to, because believe it or not, I am considered a legitimate journalist, and I get a lot of embargoed articles that I promise I'm going to be starting using more of. But I do get to read a lot of this research, and it's sometimes I attempt to have some of the scientists on the show, and but sometimes I don't, because I feel like their research is misguided. And quite often, when I read the research, what I seem to gather from the research is different than the message that I hear from the mainstream media. Now, this first story that I'm going to talk about actually started airing yesterday evening. It became unembargoed yesterday evening at 5 o'clock Eastern. So you probably heard it either last night or this morning on the news. But the reason I'm talking about it is twofold. First of all, the study recently published that showed that marijuana is not associated with adverse lung function. I want to talk about this story for 2 minutes for two different reasons. The first one is, we started talking about marijuana's medicinal effects 5 years ago. We've done a numerous variety of stories on research that shows that marijuana actually can reduce and ameliorate brain tumors, that the tetrahydrocannabinol found in marijuana has an anti-inflammatory effect, that marijuana may actually be a better sleep aid than anything that the pharmaceutical industry is putting out there, Lunestra, any of those things. But the problem is, when you talk about marijuana, you're immediately painted with a paintbrush, like you're some sort of loon. I mean, we can drink alcohol and we can smoke cigarettes, right, that kill 400,000 people a year. But God forbid you say anything positive about marijuana, or then you're a loon, okay? And that's the second reason why I want to talk about this research. Lewis Gatewood Galbraith, who I came to know, as anyone who lives in Kentucky knows, is a gentleman who ran for the state governorship here in Kentucky 5 different times. And one of his platforms, one of the things that he talked about, was the fact that he was pro legalization of marijuana. Now, you got to remember, this is Kentucky. Okay, in New York and California and Chicago, you could have a legitimate discussion about this, but you can't do it here in Kentucky, because I think that to explain why, we just have to look at something. The state is quite rigid and conservative in its views on certain things. Let's just put it that way. So anytime he started talking about the idea of legalizing marijuana, he was, you know, laughed at, poked fun at, you know, behind the back names were made of him and so on. The guy was ahead of his time, the reality is. Because, look, California legalized marijuana how many years ago? I think now a total of 5 or 6 states have legalized marijuana and getting in position. Arizona, I believe, I want to say one of the Northwest states, not Washington state, but Colorado, I think, has legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. And that's a wink, wink type of thing, because you can go in California and walk down Venice Beach, and there's a little tent, if you will, where a doctor is sitting, and he will sell you a medical marijuana card for $90. You sit down, he asks you 4 or 5 questions, he writes the script, you pay him the $90, you walk away. I mean, so really, medical marijuana, you know, okay. But anyway, Gatewood Galbraith started talking about legalization of marijuana here in Kentucky, which, by the way, no mystery to anybody who knows that Kentucky is one of the largest producers of marijuana for the underground drug scene in the world, and one of the finest producers. From what I understand, the marijuana that comes out of Kentucky is supposed to be comparable to none. You know, we are the bluegrass state. We do have the ability to grow tobacco. The first French wine grape vines were planted here in Kentucky when the French came over, hence the name Louisville, after the King of France. So, you know, we had a head start over Napa in California, but we didn't pick up the ball properly. We're known for growing things, you know. Things grow well in Kentucky, and obviously marijuana grows really well in Kentucky. So Gaywood Galbraith said, look, you know, we need to legalize marijuana. What's the difference between, you know, going out and having a couple shots of booze or in the privacy of your home, you know, smoking a little weed? And people laughed at him. Well, unfortunately, just weeks before his 65th birthday, it's sad to say that Gaywood Galbraith passed away on January 4th of this year. Now, he passed away from emphysema. And what people, mean-spirited people, have said, you know, when we've talked about this, is he probably got the emphysema from smoking weed. Well, I want to talk about this posthumously, because he obviously didn't get emphysema from smoking weed, because this study looked at longitudinally a very, very long period of time of individuals who smoked both marijuana and tobacco, or exclusively marijuana only or tobacco only. Okay? I mean, this was a well thought out study. It was done over 20 years, and the study followed individuals who either smoked marijuana exclusively, smoked tobacco products exclusively, or smoked both. And what they came up with was that the marijuana has zero effects on pulmonary function. Does not cause the issues related to emphysema, and better yet, is not as addictive as tobacco. Because some of the individuals in this study who were smoking marijuana exclusively were just smoking a couple, three joints a month, while others were smoking a joint a day, okay? But it was clearly by choice. However, the tobacco users were smoking 10, 15, 20 cigarettes a day. So those of you out there who are ultra conservative in your approach to life and think that marijuana is a gateway drug, as they used to like to call it when I was a kid. Well, once you start smoking marijuana, you'll start doing everything else. It's not necessarily true. Any more than alcohol is a gateway drug. I guess alcohol could really be the first gateway drug, right? Because you drink alcohol, then maybe you'll smoke marijuana. So if they really want to use that approach, they really need to go back a step further and look at alcohol, and maybe even go back a step further than that and look at tobacco. Maybe tobacco is the original gateway drug. Because kids start smoking cigarettes 13, 14 years old, chances are before they've had their first beer or their first episode of drunkenness. So this attitude about marijuana needs to be dispelled once and for all. If you're going to go out weekend after weekend and hammer your liver with alcohol, don't talk bad about the guy who chooses to smoke a joint once a week instead. Because chances are, he's putting his body at far less health risks than you are. And that begs the question, why aren't we legalizing marijuana? Why? Why? So this study clearly shows, and don't forget the medicinal benefits that we talked about for the past few years, anti-cancer and so on and so forth. So this recent study clearly shows that smoking marijuana does not have the effect on your lungs that tobacco does, which was a big concern for many people out there that used to say, well, you know, marijuana is no good. If tobacco causes emphysema and heart disease, and clearly marijuana will too because you're sucking. No, guess what? Marijuana comes out of the ground, generally is dried and packaged and sold. Tobacco comes out of the ground, it's dried. Then the tobacco industry adds all sorts of poisons to it to make sure that it's ultra addictive. We know that now. That's not even subject of surprise for people anymore. We know that the things that they add to the tobacco is designed to make it addictive. If you got pure tobacco out of the ground, chances are you could smoke it and not get addicted to it. Maybe I'm wrong. But the bottom line is this. Marijuana is not like tobacco when it comes to the addictive quality or the damage it does to your lungs. So those out there in Kentucky who listen to my show, who like to make snide remarks about the passing of Gatewood Galbraith, the man was ahead of his time, number one, and he clearly did not get his emphysema if, in fact, he was a marijuana user. That's a big if also. Just because he was a proponent of legalization doesn't mean that he imbibed. But it's obviously always assumed. You know, Bill Maher talks about marijuana all the time, and he talks about using marijuana all the time. I don't see anybody talking bad about him in that area there. Maybe Bill Maher will grab this research and use his political clout to try to force a campaign to legalize marijuana throughout the country. Get it over with. Be done with it. Then the magical allure to kids will disappear. Because you know how kids are. If they can get it legally, they don't even want it. So anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a recent research study that followed women who eat frequently in restaurants and whether or not they could not gain weight or even lose some weight while eating out in restaurants frequently. And the information is interesting. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Elisa just messaged me. And this is really a good point, and I'll put it away. Going back to the whole marijuana issue. Kids in Europe can drink alcohol at a very young age legally, but you don't see young kids turning into alcoholics there. Really great point. And, you know, quite frankly, I started drinking wine, thanks to my grandfather, Valerio, probably before the age of 5. When my mother used to drop me off there for them to babysit before I was in school, so you do the math, he would give me a small glass of red wine with my pastina. For those of you who don't know what pastina is, it's a tiny, tiny little star-shaped pasta that they feed babies in Italy, and they put a little butter in it and even sometimes a little cream and mix it up like almost like a cereal. But you cook the pasta first, then you put the butter and cream in. And he used to always give me the little, tiny, tiny little glass. It was actually, as I remember, an old jelly jar with Bam Bam and pebbles on it. It was like a Flintstones jelly jar that looked like a tiny little glass. And he would always give me a little red wine, and I would drink that and go to sleep. So, great point. Thanks for pointing that out, Elisa. Profumo, my executive producer. She's always listening and always trying to make me look smarter. Okay. Dr. Gail Timmerman and colleagues over at the University of Texas at Austin published a study called The Effects of Mindful Restaurant Eating Intervention on Weight Management in Women. And the reason that I find this study interesting is because, like so many of the discussions about weight loss in this country, they kind of missed the boat, in my opinion. But okay. So they wanted to see if women who eat out frequently could continue to eat out frequently and not gain weight. And of course, they chose a class of women that gain weight easily. They chose women between 40 and 59 who were clearly perimenopausal, but healthy. Okay. And 35 women, which personally, I think this is a fairly small group to base anything on, but they took 35 women and they asked them to focus on two things. They asked them to focus on caloric reduction exclusively, to look for low calorie items and reduce fat intake. They did not ask them to do anything other than that. Reduce your caloric intake and reduce your fat intake. The group as a whole, after 6 weeks, lost 1.7 kilos, which is what, like almost 5 pounds. And also, they never wanted them to lose weight, by the way. They just wanted them to maintain their weight. But they felt like women at that age with perimenopausal issues, hormonal issues, if we can keep them from gaining weight, that would be an achievement. And the women actually lost weight. Now, what they did not assess on these women was what amount of lean body mass was sacrificed in their caloric reduction approach. The group as a whole reduced their caloric intake, I believe, by about 297 calories a day. And interestingly enough, they did not just apply these new rules of lower calorie, lower fat while at restaurants choosing from menus, but also at home. So that kind of skews the results as well. They may have pigged out at the restaurant, but then the rest of the time eaten properly at home. But the real thing that they're missing here that I wish the scientific community would finally understand is that looking at weight loss in a vacuum is a major mistake. Looking at people who lose weight without considering what portion of it is lean body mass and what portion of it is fat is a mistake, because these women, let's just assume that these women lost 50% of their body weight in fat and 50% of their body weight in muscle. That now means that their new metabolic baseline has been reduced. So if they stay on this approach, eating this new caloric target, they will actually start to gain weight. And that weight will probably be exclusively fat. Because now their bodies require less calories because they've given up the one thing that burns calories. That's muscle. I mean, we say it all the time on the show. Muscle is metabolic currency. Just like you want to have a lot of money in the bank when you retire, you want to have a lot of muscle on your carcass so that you don't develop age-related disease. Now, let's take this study a step further. Let's take what everyone else out there is talking about now, including the Mayo Clinic. Normal weight obesity. We know that there are women and men out there who, while the women can fit into a size 4 dress and the men can fit into a size 32 waist pair of pants, the ratio of muscle to fat is disproportionate, and they still develop all of the metabolic disorders that their obviously obese counterparts develop, even though they look quote-unquote skinny or they fit into a small body form. So the scientific community has to get this message once and once and for all. Otherwise, research like this is completely meaningless. You must either use DEXA or fat calipers if you want to do that, but you must ascertain the ratio of lean body mass lost or gained in any of these quote-unquote diet approaches, or your information is meaningless. It's meaningless. It goes back to the old, I remember my mom used to say, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's how much money you keep. It's one of those things where on the surface, it looks like you're doing really well. So you're making $100,000 a year, but you find that you're spending $110,000 a year. So it doesn't matter what you're making. The same is true of diet approaches. It doesn't matter what you're losing if the majority of it is muscle. And the medical orthodoxy has to find out and say the words once and for all, oops, we were wrong. Muscle is important. And when they do that, they'll be able to help their patients stay healthy and disease-free. Now, is that their goal? That's a different story. If you believe in conspiracy theories, then you'll think, no, that's not their goal, because who's going to buy medications if everybody's healthy? But anyway, that's a subject for another discussion. I want to mention that my blog will be updated today. There is now a new section to my blog called Carl's Training Blog, where as I committed on air that I am going to stick to my routine, my program, because I know the only way to reach your goals is consistency. Consistency, consistency. Day in, day out, doing the things you need to do. So in an effort to hold myself accountable, I've made commitments on the air, and I've promised to start blogging my training and everything else that I can fit in there. And that will be updated today for the first day, and I will update it ongoing, making myself commitment. I have to stick to my commitments, and my audience will know if I'm not, so you guys can call me on it. So go to superhumanradio.com later today and look for my training blog. Okay. The next study that you're probably going to hear about, if not today, tonight, is the relationship between potassium levels and mortality from myocardial infarction or heart attack. The medical orthodoxy does not pay a lot of attention or invest a lot of credibility into the importance of mineral levels in the body. And the attitude of most doctors is the body's self-regulating and everybody gets what they need from their diet. And that's not true anymore. We know that current agricultural standards are to replace just three of the minerals or three of the components that are leached out of soil when you grow something. So potassium, magnesium, these are devoid in most vegetables today or in very, very low levels. This is why people need to take mineral supplements or eat foods in abundance that have high mineral levels and hope that you're getting everything that you need to get. Taking a sip of my tea, excuse me. Okay, so this was published in the JAMA today, January 11th. This was a study that was produced by Dr. Abhinav Goyal at Emory Rollins School of Public Health in Atlanta. And what they did was they had about 38,689 people that they followed who were brought into the hospital for an acute myocardial infarction, a heart attack. They looked at their potassium levels on the way in and looked at the results of their myocardial infarction. And what they discovered was this, that elderly people especially, this is true, because they're the ones that tend to have the disorder called hypokalemia, which is very, very low potassium levels. And individuals who have kidney issues can actually develop hyperkalemia, which is very, very high potassium levels. What they discovered was that the potassium levels, the range of acceptable potassium that the heart likes is a very, very narrow range. And it's somewhere between 3.5 and 4.5. And that is in milli equivalent per liter of blood. Individuals who had lower than 3.5 or higher than 5 tended to end up with a variety of other disorders related to their heart attack, including after the heart attack was dealt with, atrial fibrillations, and even dying as a result of the heart attack. So it is now understood that calcium levels play a very, very important role in an individual who is suffering from a heart attack, which means that if you have a relative, a grandparent, who's going into the hospital who just had a heart attack, you must ride his or her doctor to make sure that they A, test for potassium levels, and B, stabilize those potassium levels somewhere between 3.5 and 4.5 milliequivalents per liter in order to ensure that your relative or loved one will survive this heart attack. Individuals who came in that target range during a heart attack recovered. So it's an important message. Maybe it's not important to you, but it is important to an elderly loved one. Now, one other thing that we should talk about, and that is the importance of minerals in performance. I've talked about on the show numerous times that the heart is linked to a negative feedback loop in the brain that governs strength output to protect itself. One of the things that this negative loop does is when it finds the heart is reaching its capacity for pumping, it starts to elicit fatigue artificially, okay? If you are in proper mineral balance, you have the adequate amounts of potassium, magnesium, calcium, and sodium, your heart will function better. If your heart functions better, you'll find that you will be able to be stronger in the gym and train harder and longer, which will, in the end, produce greater muscle gains and strength gains. So minerals are important to all of us. Pay attention to your minerals. Make sure avocados are great. They're loaded with both potassium and magnesium. Make sure that you're eating foods that are well known to be rich in potassium and magnesium, and eat more than you should, because chances are, in the current agricultural climate, there's far less in there than is supposed to be. We're going to take one last commercial break, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show. I've got a couple other studies to talk about.
Two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Call it Paul.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Remember, Southern Research Companies offers my audience an additional 15% off when you use the coupon code Superhuman15, S-U-P-E-R-H-U-M-A-N, the number one, the number five. Check them out, Southern Research Companies. Okay, yesterday we talked with Dr. Jared Scarron about the effects of birthing and breastfeeding. For those of my audience who are having children or thinking of having children, they've asked me to talk about that. So we did that show yesterday. Well, a study is being released today, once again, talking about the effects of obesity on pregnant mothers. And lo and behold, just like we talked about yesterday, and this is you know, something that I'm talking about just because it reinforces the discussion yesterday. If a mom is obese during pregnancy, her immune system is altered and her baby's immune system is altered. They have found inflammatory markers like interleukin-6, which are high levels in her blood, in in umbilical cord fluid. So we clearly know that the baby is suffering the same effects of inflammation that the mother is. Now, it's common for women to put on a lot of weight during a pregnancy. I mean, some women just gain weight. They feel like it's a vacation. It's like, hey, I don't have to worry about how I look. I'm going to eat and eat and eat, and that's it. And we've had this discussion with Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Prebanek, where she talks about the fact that, you know, women should not be gaining too much weight. In fact, the minimum, I think, amount of weight that a woman should gain for a healthy pregnancy is just like 22 pounds. Women can get away with like 22, 25 pounds gains. You have women that are gaining 50 and 60 pounds. They're becoming obese. And worse than that, you have a lot of obese women who are obese before they even have their pregnancy. Then they get pregnant and they put on another 30, 40 pounds. These women are hurting their children, their babies. The baby is living in a pro-inflammatory environment that leads to a higher degree of respiratory tract infections, and a variety of other illnesses that appear later on in life. And we talked about yesterday with birthing your child. I did a blog post a couple days ago about the women who get low protein diets actually put their children at risk of developing chronic diseases later on in life. Well, this goes hand in hand. If you're obese while you're delivering a baby, you're developing that baby in an environment of chronic disease. So clearly that child is going to have all of the markers of chronic disease. Now, where this study got it wrong, and the reason I want to talk about this, and just to give credit where it belongs, this study was done by the Advances in Neuroimmune Biology, Institute of Life Science, College of Medicine, Swansea University in the United Kingdom, by Catherine A. Thornton and colleagues. Where I think Dr. Thornton gets some bad information in here, and once again, this is one of the things that I think the science, just like I said before, the scientific community has to stop looking at diet as a complete reduction in the gravitational force of a scale and start looking at body composition at the, as a result of diet. More muscle, less fat. That's a successful diet. The scientific community, when they start talking about macronutrient ratios, especially when they start talking about fat, they really need to look at the kind of fat that is being administered in order for accuracy to be evident when talking about inflammation. One of the other things that they discovered was the inflammatory rate of mothers eating a high-fat diet is much higher. It's not the fat. It's the high omega-6 ratios in the fat. Fat today, almost by definition, is pro-inflammatory unless you are eating fats from animals with natural diets like grass-fed cows and naturally raised chickens. John Wood over at U.S. Wellness Meats likes to call it humanely raised pork. These animals that are fed natural diets don't develop these pro-inflammatory fats, and you don't ingest them and develop more inflammation. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. We know that this is a fact. You eat the meat, the beef rendered from a cow that has been raised on corn and grain and soy, and that is pro-inflammatory fat, that marbling in there. You eat the meat from a cow that has been fed grass its entire life, and that's all omega-3s. The omega-3 to omega-6 ratio is appropriate. You have anti-inflammatory fats in there. And what they did discuss in this study that I want to clarify is that while the mothers who ate high-fat diets had higher inflammation, again, because of the fat, they also suggested, due to a rat model study, that the fathers that were fed a high-fat diet that then fathered a pup, they too had an altered insulin tolerance due to a change in some hypothalamic peptides. But once again, this was related as it relates to the effects of inflammation. So it's clear that the scientific community has to differentiate between the sources of fat. I would challenge the scientific community to do some of these studies over with the traditional high omega-6 ratio fats and the non-traditional, hard-to-find, high omega-3 ratio fats, and they'll find out that the mothers will not develop the inflammatory response, nor will the fathers, and they won't pass it along to their young. So I hope that the scientific community starts to get it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. They're probably, if I asked a scientist this, he would probably say, well, the problem with that approach is it realistic to think that people know the difference, number one, and number two, will they seek out the difference? We have to use what people are eating most of right now. And, you know, fat is not the enemy. It clearly is not the enemy. Yes, pro-inflammatory fats, artificial fats, yes, they are the enemy. But clearly, healthy fats, omega-3s, in high abundance, found in animal fat that animals that are eating a natural diet is not the problem. So I just wanted to talk about those studies. When you hear about them on the news, they will probably talk about the fact that a high-fat diet is not a good idea. Fat is critical to the development of a child, a fetus's nervous system and brain, but the mom has to focus on getting plenty of omega-3s and not the ratio of omega-6s that is in the common American diet today. Okay, tomorrow we will be doing another installment of the roundtable discussion on the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. So you want to tune in for that. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio today. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.